Church, it is great to see you. I am so thankful you're here. Those who are able to be here in person certainly see you, and I'm thankful for you. Those who have not able to be here and are tuned in online, thank you very much for being a part of our services today. It's been a great day. I'm so thankful that we've had the opportunity. Hey, brothers, I got you the wrong PowerPoints, but so just kill those. Thank you. Sorry, it was a scripture and this one, so I apologize. But we're not talking about wisdom today, but we are going to enter into a series of lessons that hopefully are very wise. But we're going to talk about our sales. This is the last quarter of the year. Isn't that hard to believe? I mean, last year was such a long year and a year we never want to experience again. This year we've had, you know, some challenges as well. But here we are entering this last quarter of the year, and we've talked about elevate a lot this year, elevating ourselves for God. And so as we get to the close, I really want to take a deep dive into our inner self. As we close out this year, I want us to be able to look at where we stand for God, where we are in our walk. And it's not really just something we're going to look at today. Again, we're going to look at it through the rest of the year. Even Justin's going to come to us. George is going to come to us. We're going to have some opportunities in this series of lessons to really examine the person in the mirror. You know, when we look in the mirror, sometimes we see something we don't like. But I'm not talking about the physical appearance. I'm certain that probably, unfortunately, happens sometimes as well. But sometimes when we look in the mirror, we don't like where we are spiritually. But I think we need to have those opportunities. You know, one thing I try to do, and I always try to be very transparent with you, I always try to look at myself and say, what can you do better? And folks, sometimes that list is very long. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I don't like what I see spiritually. I don't like what I see. Maybe I need to change or tighten up, or that may be as a husband, as a father, as a minister, as an elder. You know, there are always things I can do better. And I'm certain that if we're honest with ourselves in this room and online, you would agree with that statement. There are things that you can do better. And so what I want to do is take a dive into who we are. And it's going to last over several weeks. It's not going to be the same topic every day, but it's going to be a character trait. It's going to be something that we need to elevate, all of us, in our lives. You know, one of the things that people will know about you if they look at you or spend time with, not if they look at you, but if they spend time with you for any moment of time, they're going to know pretty quickly about your character. Are you a person? Are you a man? Are you a woman of character? Are you a man or woman of integrity? You see, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word translated integrity means the condition of being without blemish, completeness, perfection, sincerity, soundness, uprightness, wholeness. Integrity, I'm going to read that again. The condition of being without blemish, completeness, perfection, sincerity, soundness, uprightness, wholeness. In the New Testament, the word translated in the Greek means honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. You know, I think if you were to ask me to define integrity, I don't know that I could. I've heard the word. I've used the word. I don't know if I've ever actually preached a lesson on integrity in itself. But when I look at these definitions, it makes so much more sense to me. You see, God's called me to be a man of integrity. He's called you to be a man or a woman of integrity. He's called our teenagers to be of integrity. We are, as Christians, to be those who display integrity. Today we're going to study a man in the Old Testament who I believe at the heart and soul of everything he did, you'd find the word integrity. It's because of this man's integrity that we even know who he was and why there's a book in the Bible named after him. This man's name is Daniel. I invite you to join me in Daniel chapter 6. I love the story of Daniel. I love that it is a story that we see a lot of people of integrity throughout. I say a lot, several. We see his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But this story of Daniel is really a rich story. It's not just about a lion's den. There's so much more to it than a lion's den. There's so much more to it than what happened when God closed those mouths of those lions. Now, don't get me wrong, that is powerful. And it shows the awesome power of our God. But there's so much more to this. And I think if you dive into the story, at the root of it all, you will see that Daniel was a man who displayed great integrity. So what I want to do is I want to look at Daniel's life. And I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge me to not just say, oh, this is a story I know, but really put yourself in those shoes. Put yourself in that story and ask if what you display in your life right now, what I display in my life right now, if faced with the same odds, if integrity would reign supreme. So the first thing I want you to think about is found in Daniel 6, 1 through 5. Let's read it together. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Bo read to us from 1 through 3, and it reminds us of Daniel's character right off the bat. It pleased Darius, or Darius, however you want to say it, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over those, three governors of whom Daniel was one. So Daniel is one third of those who are over the kingdom, right? He is one third of these governors who are over these satraps over the kingdom. And the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Let's listen to why Daniel was chosen, verse 3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Think about that now. We'll come back to it in a minute. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge, because that brought up jealousy and envy, right? Some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then those men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." The first challenge I want you all to do today, we pattern right after. That's still not. Oh, it's still not it. Sorry. I'm sorry, Thea. I probably butchered all that. But the first thing I want you to see, now you got it. All right, the first thing I want you to see in all of this is we must choose to live a life of integrity. That is a choice we make. Just like when I tell my children or someone else's children or some adult or what have you, the way we choose to react to something is a choice, right? And so once we make that choice, I hope that choice is made when we get up in the morning and we pick up our cross and we follow Him. But sometimes in the spur of the moment, we have a choice to make. How am I going to respond to this? Am I going to choose happiness today? Am I going to choose to see the positive? Am I going to choose the good? Well, I'm asking you to choose to live a life of integrity. Daniel was different. I mean, isn't that amazing in that story? In those two verses, really those five verses, but in those two verses, verses 3 and 4, right there, we see how different Daniel was. He was one of three, but he stood out above all of them.
And the king, King Darius, King Darius, he wanted to put Daniel over the whole realm of his kingdom. By the way, they're not from the same race. They're not from the same nationality. This is the Persians. Daniel's Hebrew. But he stood out. You know why? Because he was different. We are called to be different. You see, if all the world looked like one person, if all the world talked like one person, if all the world acted like one person, and all the billions of people on the planet, it would be just a weird world. But it would all be camouflaged. It'd all be blended in. We couldn't see any difference. It'd all be gray, wouldn't it? But see, God called us not to be like the world. He called us to stand out. To be different. Daniel stood out. The king, that is Darius, and the other governors, you know what they did? They took notice. The satraps took notice. The king wanted to set him above the whole kingdom. Why? Because he was different. He lived a life of integrity. Daniel, three things I believe he had that we see in this that we need to be able to have the integrity we need to have as we look at that man or woman in the mirror and we choose to be a person of integrity, a person of Jesus Christ. We need to have these same three things. Number one, he had an excellent spirit. What does that mean? Well, I believe it meant that Daniel, everything that he did, he had a good attitude. He had a good mindset. He was a very positive person. There's a lot that could go into it, right? We know that it was a clean spirit. We know that he made sacrifice, I'm sure, and obviously did the things he did to put his sins off as they had to atone for their sins. He was living a godly life. And so what happened? People took notice. Isn't that what Jesus said? Isn't that funny, amazing, awesome, powerful, how that works? Matthew chapter 5, remember he said, I need you to be two things. I need you to be salt and I need you to be light. He said, because salt is going to season the world. It's going to change the world, but it's going to preserve the goodness. It's going to preserve. This world's evil, folks. Can you look around and see? It was evil in Genesis 6. It was evil after the flood. It was evil in the prophet's day. It was evil in the silent centuries. It was evil in Jesus' day, and it's evil in our day today. Satan's the prince of this world. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and darkness. That's what we're wrestling against, right? So it's still evil. Jesus said, preserve the good, be salt. But then he also said, I want you to be light. What happens when you're light? Well, you have an excellent spirit and you stand out because he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, that's having an excellent spirit. Daniel had that excellent spirit. He stood out. People took notice. Now, guess what? Not all that took notice were pleased with it. But that doesn't matter. Because, you know, it's kind of like in my life, in your life. There are a lot of people that probably want you to please them, right? Because I'm a human being and you're a human being, I'm going to let people down. People are going to let me down. But at the end of the day, when we put our head on our pillow, the only being that really matters is God. That's who it matters if we pleased or not. At the end of the day, where the rubber meets the road, right? That is where it really matters. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Number two, he was faithful. He was faithful. Daniel was faithful. We're going to see more about that. He was faithful to prayer. He was faithful to God. You and I can't be a person of integrity, and we can't have an excellent spirit if our faith is wavering. You know, it's kind of like dieting one day and binging the next, right? How good is that going to be? Not very good. I mean, if we're trying to lose some weight, you know, I can't eat salad all day and eat Snickers bars the next if I'm trying to lose weight. Well, it's the same thing with our faith. How can we expect, okay, today's Sunday. Today's the Lord's Day. Guess what? I'm here. I didn't get here for Sunday school, but I'm here. You know what? Like I've said before, you know, we make choices, right? Yeah, well, I don't really need to study the Bible with the church family on Sunday mornings. Isn't that what I say? I mean, I may not say that actively, but I'm saying that. I don't need, or how about this? I can't get up early enough. I bet tomorrow we can when we go to work. But anyhow, Wednesday night, it's coming back. Well, Terry, the church is not, first of all, you see where I'm going with this, I hope. Can I be part-time faithful? Can I be part-time anything? And do extremely well? Can I have a part-time salary and live in a mansion? Can I have part-time gas and go on a long trip? Can I have part-time faith and be a person of integrity? I'm telling you, it's challenging. We can't do it. We've got to be all in or we're all out. But then thirdly, Daniel was blameless. Now, blameless doesn't mean he was perfect. It means he was complete. You see, and that's something you need to understand. The word blameless or the word perfect, all that doesn't, it doesn't mean that he was without sin. But they didn't find anything. He was a complete person. They didn't find anything that they could blame anything on. That's integrity. Daniel lived integrity. Are we? Are we doing it at work? Young people, are we doing it at school? Are we doing it in line at the grocery store? You see, living a life of integrity will have an impact on the kingdom, on God's kingdom. So the question I have today is, Darius, he found favor with Daniel. Does our king, the King of Kings, find favor with us? Secondly, this morning, it's going to come from Daniel 6:6-9. But we've got to understand there's a cost of integrity. Daniel 6:6-9, and then 10-13. Read along with me. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, King Darius, live forever. Well, they're buttering him up now, aren't they? That's what he wanted to hear. And here's what they say. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Well, that sounded good to him, didn't it? I think this king, again, he finds favor with Daniel. But what it boils down to, while he was on the throne, he reigned supreme in his own life, right? And so these kings, it happened to a lot of them. You can look back to the Old Testament and see. But these kings, again, he was never a godly king anyhow. He was from the Medes and Persians, and a whole other realm of gods, false gods were out there. But King Darius, he hears this and it sounds good. Yeah, I don't want anybody bowing down except to me. So he signed the decree. He wasn't thinking about Daniel. He was thinking about him. Now look down at verses 10-13. Then when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Somebody once said that if anything counts, it is going to cost. If it doesn't cost, it doesn't count. Read that again. If anything counts, it is going to cost. If it doesn't cost, it doesn't count. There is a cost to living a life of integrity. The kingdom administrators could find nothing immoral or unethical about Daniel, so they decided to make his faith illegal. He had spent his entire life, you heard it there, since his childhood, displaying honesty, decency, and godly integrity, even in governmental service. He had served faithfully and loyalty under every king, whether it was Nebuchadnezzar or now under this king. He had always done what was best for others. And now he had a choice to make between his faith and all that he had worked for. Daniel could have safely just called it quits and not prayed for 30 days. He could have. Again, I ask you to put yourself in his shoes in this story. Somebody, because of jealousy, because they think we're wackos or we find favor with others, they make religion illegal. How's our integrity? 30 days is all he had to give it up. 30 days, Daniel could have said, oh, no, I'm just not going to pray. You know, I'm going to save my job. Better yet, I'm going to save my life. You know, the problem with that is somebody came up with 21 times. You do something, it becomes a habit. 21 days of no prayer might have meant he wasn't going to ever pray again. Daniel also could have closed his windows. He could have put some drape over that window. And he could have just prayed in secret. He could have got down on his knees once that drape was up. And he could have prayed toward Jerusalem and done what he was supposed to do the three times a day as was the law. He could have just decided, hey, king, I need to take a month-long sabbatical. Can you give me a 30-day sabbatical so that I can go and just clear my mind, clear my thoughts? He could have just gone somewhere else. He could have just laid in bed at night and prayed silently. But you see, integrity should never go on vacation. Integrity should never take a break. What's our motivation? What do I spend my time doing? I better be dedicated to my relationship with God and live a life of integrity, no matter what the cost. Finally, this morning, it may even come a point, if we're real serious about it, that we have to pay the price of integrity. Daniel 6, 18 through 28. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. You see, he loved Daniel. But But the law was the law. He signed it. He sealed it. According to the Medes and Persians. And now Daniel's got to go in the lion's den. But remember when I said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven? And we talked about having an excellent spirit and being faithful and living that integrity life. Others take notice. So this king who sat on his throne and liked what he heard about nobody bowing down except him, guess where he is? He's bowed down. Daniel, because of the price of integrity, has got King Darius on his knees. The king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sheep went from him. Sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of Yahweh, or the living God. Think about the power in that. Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, I get chill bumps. O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. We are the called out. The word is actually ecclesia, which means that when the world bows down and the world gets jealous and the world speaks all kinds of evil against you, and they may even try to get you fired and devoured in this life, we must still stand out. We must still not bow down. We bow down to Yahweh and nothing else. We are to live in the world, but we can't have the world live in us. Daniel did not give in to the real or the figurative lion that was after him. Daniel was willing to pay the price. He didn't know God was going to shut those lions' mouths. He was willing to die for his integrity. Stephen had an angry mob stoning him to death. He didn't bow down. Paul faced persecution and peril time after time, but he didn't bow down. Folks, there's a lion after us too. But we serve a Savior who's already shut His mouth. The only way we will ever maintain our integrity is when we make the same decision that Daniel made. Every day, and we can't take a day off, every day we must get up. Before we get out of bed, before we go to school, before we go to work, or before we're retired and go get the trash can in, or whatever we do, we got to make up our mind that our integrity is more important than our safety, our security, our prosperity, or our popularity. I want to close with some questions, and I want you to ask them to yourself. If you looked in a mirror that could show you your character, what would you portray on the outside? What would what you portray on the outside match what's on the inside? Would you describe yourself as a person of integrity? Has there been a time when you had to decide whether or not to practice integrity? Do you think you made the right decision in that moment? Or do you wish you could have go back and do things differently? The past is the past. And there's not a lot we can do about changing decisions we've made. But there are a couple decisions today that can alter the future. Today, the naysayers are telling you to stay in your seat, to stay in your pew, to stay in your aisle. Don't choose integrity. Don't choose Jesus Christ. But God's telling you, come. We just sang about it. Come. Now is the time to worship, to give your life, to surrender your life, to say goodbye to the world and hello to Jesus Christ. Today, maybe you have messed up. Maybe you have made decisions that did not portray good integrity. The good news is the blood of Jesus still washes sins away. And if you've made the decision and you've strayed away, you can come back right now. And I urge you to do it as together we stand.